If you would, go with me to John, the book of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, we know the story. We're pretty sure it's very familiar. It's a very familiar story. And if you would, join me to stand in the honor of reading the word of God's word. But if you know chapter 5, we see that Jesus is very busy in this book. And he's meeting people and he's going here and there. And then he sees a lot of people. He meets the people and then he meets a lot of the multitudes, he says. And I think it's John 5:3. I'll just read that real quick. It says, In these lay great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And we see that Jesus here, he meets a multitude there at Bethesda, by the pool. And you see that he meets a great multitude. And then we go to chapter 6. In verse 1, and I'll read up to verse 14, and it says this: After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall these buy bread? Whence shall we buy bread? And he says, That these may eat. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, and that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of the truth that prophet that should come into the world. You'll see that in John 6, Jesus leaves that area and goes to a mountain and where a great company follows him. And he's about to do that another miracle about feeding the thousands with just a little bit of food. And that just shows that he's not only the healer, but he's a provider. And he meets the physical needs to teach the deeper truth that he is the bread of life. And then verse 12 is the key verse today. It says, When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, we see that he not only cares about getting the people fed, but that he cares about the fragments, the scraps that are left behind. He cares about the chewed bread and the unwanted pieces. And that's what that is. And he says there, gather up the fragments that nothing that remain, that nothing be lost. And that what a fragment is, it's a part broken off. It's a piece separated from anything by breaking. It's a part separated from the rest, an imperfect part. That's what a fragment is. And I thank God that Jesus wanted the fragments in this story. We see that he wanted them. He told his disciples, gather them up. And he wanted the fragments. And because I say that, because on the res, there are such fragments of people. And there's a lot of folks there. And that's what I was ashamed of when I told you that story. That's what I was ashamed of, was the fragments. You know, that's the broken people that used and abused, destroyed, unwanted. And I'm not saying that just for on the Navajo Nation, but I found out when I went to Salt Lake that there was people out there just as broken as they were on the reservation. And you see them on the streets and they're broken people. Oh, they're all amongst us. But I thank God that Jesus wanted the fragments. What creates a fragment? It says there that the multitudes, and we know that that represents the world, society or the world leaves fragments. You write notes, that's point one. That the multitudes is the type of the world, and we often, you know, we joke, I don't joke, well, I guess I do joke a little bit, but when it comes to getting the bread, you know, the bread piece, sandwich piece of the bread, you know, oftentimes they say, I don't want the hill of the bread, right? I know my son, my wife say it, but I say, I'll take it. I like the end of the bread. But you know, this, we often throw that piece out. And I was trying to imagine it too, like when they're sitting there and they're feeding and they're giving out the bread and they're giving out the food and someone gets the hill of the bread, they'd probably just throw it and say, can I have another piece? It's an unwanted piece. You see, the hill of the bread, you know, is probably tossed away. And then in the world, I'm saying this, the world, let me compare this, contrast it, but the world will chew you up, spit you out, throw you away. The world also calls a Christian to compromise. Once you're in, oh, you'll be going in so many directions. Let me tell you this, Jesus saw them with compassion. He saw the multitude. He saw them, and he saw these fragments with compassion. You see it all in the Bible in Matthew 9:36. Let me show you these places where Jesus had compassion. Matthew 9:36. It says here. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. With what? Compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You can go throughout the Gospels of Mark and you see that in Matthew 14:14 it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. You can go to Matthew 15:32 and it says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. You can also go to Matthew 20:34 and says, I'm just going to read these. It says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Mark 1:41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. And again, he was moved with compassion toward them. Because, it says again, they were a sheep, not having a shepherd. And it goes on through the Gospels in Mark 8:2, and then in Luke 7:13, and it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Well, I'm just showing you those because God had compassion on people. God had compassion, and it says there that not only had compassion on the people, the multitudes he saw, but also the fragments. His compassion often moved him to action and healing and feeding and teaching and comforting. And it's a model for us to have Christ-like compassion. He wanted the unwanted. Here, point number two, let me give you this. Sin leaves fragments. Sin leaves fragments. You know, there's two pictures of sin, there's two pictures of this. There's the fatal attraction of sin. I like an illustration. I forget which preacher told me this, but he said there's two doors to sin. You come in and you'll see the party. You'll see how glorified sin is. But he says, once you go out the other door of sin, you'll see the gutter. You see the alleyways. You see where the drunks are. You'll see the worst side of sin. You see where they're laying in their vomit. You'll see that side of sin where man, they're just like Skid Row, you know, they're just wasted out there, thrown out. And I remember a story with Brother Mark, talking about Brother Mark, and he took Brother Joel and one of his other sons to in Gallup. There's a railroad through the town, and he said he took them down to that railroad, and oftentimes some drunks will hang out down there. So he took them down there, and he showed his boys what alcohol would do to you. He saw some passed out, laid out, and he said, you could smell it. Vile. And he pointed to him. He said, those are the people that need to be saved. And I get that story. I said, those are my people. And for Brother Mark to have compassion on them, all right, have the same compassion. We ought to have the same compassion for those broken people who are fragments. We see sin leaves fragments. There's a fatal attraction of sin. It looks good in the commercials, right? It looks good. It feels good for a season. But oh, we don't see the alleys and the gutters and the streets and the railroads of sin. It's not a pretty picture. It's an unseen reality. I remember a fella we were ministering to in Red Valley, and his name was Harlan. Harlan was a good man. He was coming to church. He got discipled, and then my first discipleship class I ever had, and man, it was rough. I remember we were sitting there, and we were talking about a turn leaf. You don't just turn a leaf and that expect everything to get better. But I remember that, and Harlan was there, and Harlan got saved a few weeks later, and he started growing in the Lord and started changing his life. But Harlan's, man, his past would just break your heart. His testimony would break your heart. And he was in jail at the time, and he said he was ready to get out, and his wife and his son was coming to pick him up. What had happened is his wife and his son came, and they got hit by a semi, and they got killed in an accident. And he said, that's where I lost hope and everything. He said, I started drinking. I started doing all the drugs I wanted. He said, just to cope with the pain. And he said, it was all fun and dandy. We had a great time. He said, but now look where I'm at. I'm living in someone else's house, and I sleep on the streets. And he says, and sometimes on the side of the road and out in the desert of nowhere. You don't believe that, but I picked up a few guys on the side of the road, just laying on the side of the road, passed out. But he said, I'd lay there, and he said, sometimes I just wish someone would just drive off on accident and kill me. So Harlan, I said, the Lord doesn't want that for you. And I started getting closer to him, and then eventually he went back to drinking. He's a saved man, but he fell back into that same sin. And Harlan, when the last time I seen him was in front of a Little Caesar in Shiprock, and he was sitting on the floor, and he was begging for money. I said, Harlan, I've never seen you. I haven't seen you in so long. And he said, yeah, he went back into it. I said, hey, didn't you know Christ loves you? Don't you know he doesn't want this for you? He said, yeah, I know. I said, but I've just given up. Sad to say, they found him behind that grocery store, beaten up, beaten to death. You see what I'm saying, kids, is children and adults alike, and that sin leaves fragments. That sin will leave fragments, and that sin is a fatal attraction. And folks, we have to tell folks about his compassion, about his goodness. And let me go to Proverbs 7. Go with me there. Look at this. This is what we have to do here. Proverbs 7. And how many of us do we know some kids that just went off? That just left? That just fell into sin? And look at that. I see this the other day, and I was reading this in my daily proverb. And it says here in verse 6, it says, for at the window of my house I looked through the casement. And it goes on to say this young man, he fell into with a strange woman. He fell in with her. And he's sinning with her. And this whole time I'm thinking, why didn't she say anything? You're looking through the window. You should have said, hey, son, stop. Hey, young teenager, stop. Don't go that way. And you see, that bothered me all this time. I was like, why didn't she say anything? Drove me nuts for about a week. You see, that's a lot of us. That's our mentality. We just look through the window, the casement. It's a little shutter thing. Just look through it. We don't warn anybody. We don't see. That's not compassion. We truly love the young folks. We would tell them not to sin. We would tell them not to go that way. We ought not to be like that. We ought to tell our folks about sin. Because why? Because sin leaves fragments. Number three, Satan leaves fragments. Oh, what's that? First Peter 5:8. We know it. First Peter 5:8. I'll go there. First Peter 5:8 says this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Anybody is he's looking for. It says that he's roaring. That means he's constantly going. He don't sleep. He's walking. He's not sleeping. He's not laying down, not taking a break. He's seeking. That means we ought to be on our toes too. But is this, Satan leaves fragments. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's not taking a break. He's not taking no days off. And he's searching for folks he's gonna use and abuse them. He's trying to break some people. He's trying to destroy some people. Make them fragments. But he has destroyed so many. He's destroyed so many. And we see that with this mental distress. We see that with the identity crisis. You know, what did the pastor say this morning? That people want to be cats. Identify as a cat. I was like, that's crazy. I've never heard that. I've heard about skinwalkers and shape-shifting, and I've never heard them going to a cat. But you know, there's identity crisis. People forget who they are. You know, why are there drunk suicides, etc.? And you know, I'll tell you this, man, our reservation is rampant with a lot of drunks. And I remember when we were in Victory Baptist, and this was about maybe my second year in ministry at the church serving and being there. I remember just hearing every week, every month, a teenager went up to Thumb Rock, committed suicide, took his dad's shotgun. Oh, Saddle Rock. Took his brother's truck up there and killed himself. It broke my heart. Some of those kids, his family, you know. And I always think about them and I would say, Lord, he's destroyed so many. And I was always questioned, like, Father, what could we have done? Could we have done better? How could we reach them better? He was breaking my heart for my people. But why are there so many drunks and suicides? Well, they don't know their purpose. They lose their identity of who they are. You know, they've relied on their identity on others. It reminds me of that story in 1 Samuel 31, I think it was verse 4. I remember Saul's armor bearer. When Saul's armor bearer went, because he had relied so much on Saul, this armor bearer, and his life was just fixated around Saul, and he was just looking after Saul. He was his armor bearer and took his armor everywhere he went. And when Saul died, he didn't know what to do. He just gave up, lost hope, and he took his own life. It reminds me of the story of this lady. She took care of her dad, and her dad was a veteran. It was Army vet, and after her dad died, the story goes, a preacher came into her house, and she was on her porch in pajamas. She was crying, and this lady, and he was talking to her, "Hey, what's going on, ma'am? Are you okay?" And she said, "Oh no," she says, "I miss my dad. I miss him, and he passed away." And he said, "All right." He said, "Hey, I'm going to come back later. I'm going to bring the pastor by." And so later on, they went to her house, and she was still in pajamas, and she was still weeping. And he said, when they went into her house, she had his picture up, and she had his uniform up, and she had his medals and a lot of his pictures up, like a memorial in her house. And then they were talking with her, and they said, "Hey, when did your dad? When did he pass away?" And she said, 2 years ago. She was still weeping. She was immobilized because her identity was put in this man, her father. Soon, you know, that just made her immobilized and made her hopeless. It made her, you know, she could have committed suicide because of that. But not only that, there's relational disputes. There's spiritual strongholds and there's addictions. Like I said, there's a lot of people on our reservation. We just had a family before we came and they called us up and they were drunk. They had a family and everything, and both of the parents were drunk. And why did they drink? Because their life was just broken. They had broken expectations. And I remember you can go there onto the reservation and talk to some of the drunks on the street and you ask them, hey, what did you want to be when you grew up? And a lot of them would say basketball stars, NBA stars, this and that, or I had a dream to do this and do that. But it all, their dreams broken, they just started drinking. And they're wallowing in their sin, they're wallowing in their expectations, their broken dreams. And I want to help my people because I want to show them there's a better way. That only Jesus Christ can help them and that only Jesus Christ can turn their life around for better. And they asked, a lot of them asked me why. Like, how do you know? I said, because I was you. And I was a fragment just like you. And I was broken just like you. And I was used and abused for, 27 years just like you. And I said, I know there's hope because I had hope, because I had given up, but I was on the end and I was ready to commit suicide as well. And I was ready to drink my life away. I said, but I found Jesus Christ. And He saved my life and listen, and He wanted me. Jesus wants the fragments. And I'm glad, here's number four, our Savior, Jesus Christ, He cares for the fragments. He said that nothing will be lost. And Jesus wanted the fragments. He wanted the pieces no one wants. And the pieces that were thrown aside and the pieces that were undesirable or squished or broken up. And He wanted them. But Jesus wants the fragments. He wanted the pieces again that maybe the flies sat on. He said, I want it. The hill of the bread, He said, I want it. The beat up pieces, I want it. Jesus, let me tell you this. Go back to to John chapter 6 and verse 12. Jesus told him, He said, hey, go gather up the fragments. Gather up the ones that remain. Gather them for me. Because look what He says there. It says, let me read it one more time. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You know what? Jesus never picked up a fragment. He never went out and grabbed them. What did He do? He told His disciples to go get them. Look at that. Look at verse 13. It says, therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Oh, He told His disciples, go gather the fragments. Folks, He's telling us to go too. He's telling us to go out, give the gospel. In Texas, a big, big area. Oh, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of fragments out there. A lot of broken homes out there. A lot of struggling homes out there. A lot of people that need Christ. He's telling us to go. He's telling us to go. But He sent His disciples to go, and He sends you with the Great Commission. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to tell you this. You say, well, I can't. Preacher, because, you know, I'm this or I'm that. Well, you remember the little lad? All he had was a little. And by the way, we don't own anything. It's all God's. Well, we say God owns 1,000 cows on a thousand, or 1,000 hills with all the cows. I forgot, I'm messing that up, but you know what I mean? But he owns all the hills, right? And he owns all the diamonds as well and all the oil that's underneath it. Hey, God can use a little lad. He can use you. We just got to go. We just got to go. But he tells us to go. And you know what? I'm thankful for this. And I'll end it here. But I'm telling you, I left Salt Lake and we moved back in a little Mustang. And my wife, I always say she kidnapped me from Salt Lake. She just threw me in the ride. And but we came back and we moved back and she was saved and she was just out of church. And I remember living at the house. I remember working, I believe it was Graveyards at the time. And we were just sitting at home. We weren't doing anything, and I remember down the road, God sent two preachers. I remember Charlie O'Daniel and Bobby Harjo. They came down the road. He's a Choctaw, so brother, you know, you just floor it, right? Dirt road. He hit all the bumps, all the potholes, and he was on his third transmission, and. I remember all the dust flying, and he came down the road, and I was looking at him, and I said, man, I don't know who that is, but he's crazy. And my wife, I said, go talk to them. Go shush them away. You know, we don't need that. And I was done with religion. And I said, I was done with God. I was done with everything. I said, I give up. And my wife went out there, and she talked. She said, yeah, I know them. And she went out there, and she talked with them, and she said, that's my old pastor. And came back. Invited me to church. And I was so mad. I said, oh, you don't need a church. And I started arguing with her and telling her she doesn't need anything with that and just to do away with it. But she went to church. And I remember her going to church, and I would say, and I got jealous because she came back. She said, oh, he's so good. Oh, I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to hear what he has for me next week. And I said, who is she talking to? So God got me there. Use my jealousy to go and see who she was talking about, to see who she was adoring over there. And lo and behold, it was Jesus. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those two preachers that went. That what I'm saying is if they didn't go, I wouldn't be here. If they didn't go, if God didn't send them, and if they didn't go, I don't know where I'd be. I lost two, my sister, lost my little sister, and I lost my older sister to alcohol. I would be in the headstone next to them. I believe if they didn't come, if I didn't get saved. But those two preachers came, and then they invited her back to church, and eventually I went to church, and eventually my wife led me to the Lord, and you know, I met a man who restored my life. I met a man who wanted me, who wanted this fragment. Who wanted me, and he put purpose in my life, put peace in my life, put power in my life through him, and he put a position in my life I would never know, that I never knew I could do, and he put me in the ministry, serve out in Newcomb Baptist Church. God has been good. And guess what? My identity now is in him. And that's where young folks, our identity must be in him. Why? Because he never changes. God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a good identity to hold with. So I'll tell you this today. Don't forget about the fragments. Let me tell you this. A bunch of fragments make a full basket. That could be the church bus. Be this house. We don't know what that basket is. You can put a lot of fragments in here. Lead them to the Lord.